the thrust of this letter to the Galatians is, man, contending for the faith, not for just faith. Hey, brother, have faith. For the faith. That's the faith of Jesus Christ, what we just celebrated this morning. The gospel. Not another gospel, not a gospel with things added to it and tacked onto it or dressed up or painted up or made pretty or palatable for the world around us. No, the gospel is beautiful as it is and it's pure. It's like fresh snow. We don't need to run through with our muddy tracks. It is how it is, how God has laid it out. And it's pure and beautiful and it's mighty to save. That Jesus would lay his life down, that God would give his only son. Why couldn't he just wave some type of spiritual wand over this earth and heal everybody? Why did there have to be such pain? Why did there have to be such suffering? These are deep questions. As we learn these questions and follow God and learn about him, we start to change. We start to change. We start to learn about God and we start to be transformed by the power of God into who he is. He revealed himself to us in such a way that he wants us to gravitate to that, to grab a hold and lay a hold of that, to return that grip that he has on us. Paul said that I might apprehend that which apprehended me, that which grabbed a hold of me and rescued me. What a beautiful, strong grip our Lord Jesus has. Mm-hmm. Man, you could picture that carpenter's forearms, man, just rippling. In a strong hand with a pierce going through it and just grabbing a hold of you like no other grip on this earth. How he loves us, man. Oh, how he loves us. And Paul would say that I could return that grip now, that I can apprehend, that I could grab a hold of what has grabbed a hold of me. That's what we're trying to do today. Just apprehend a little bit more, trying to grab a little bit more of this Jesus that grabbed us. That so loved us. So there's a waiting and a walking that comes in Galatians 5, chapter 5, and going off, trailing off into chapter 6. There's a waiting and walking. That waiting is simply being in the hold in the arms of Jesus. We're waiting to be glorified. He's taken us to the heavenly shores. You receive Jesus in your heart. You're just waiting for that day. And we're encouraged now in that waiting to walk in that truth, to bear fruit of that truth. So there's a waiting now and a walking we're going to get into. And that's what we started with before communion, reading a few verses out of Galatians 5 there. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. Has anybody seen one yet? Driving down the road, it says, only love your brother 3 times a year. Only love your sister 10 times in your lifetime. Only tell your wife she's beautiful once a week. Twice is against the law. You're going to get handcuffs. There's no law, man. Go for it. Tell her she's beautiful every minute of the day. There's no law to love. Why are there restraints? There's only restraints on the things of the flesh. And the things of the flesh which were listed there are areas of weakness of the flesh because there's areas of weakness of believing in God. Those are areas that we need to grow in faith and strength in believing in God. How does healing come for those areas? By increasing our faith in God. What happens is we look at our fellow Christians like this. This is a wild spinach plant. You can just turn up the soil anywhere. You can rototill the soil. Anybody ever see this out in your yard? Little one over there? You ever see this out in your yard, this particular plant? It's called a wild spinach or lamb's quarter. And I'm always pulling these things out of the garden because they're getting in the way of the things I planted. And then I learned something. You can eat these things.
Don't ever just do that without
without, yeah, somebody that knows what they're doing. Yeah. But I happen to know this is wild spinach, lamb's quarters. You can't eat all weeds, but this one you can. But this is the one I picked today. That's beside the point. a lot of people look at somebody's life and they don't see the underneath. They don't see the root system. What they see is the things that are above ground, things that are showing in their life. And they say, you know what, I want that. I'm going to do what they do. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do all the things they do because I like the life that they're living. And what happens sometimes is that it becomes dead works. And they're planting upside down because they didn't see what really that life is coming from. They didn't see the root. The root is faith that produces a life of love and fruit. And here's the life that we all witness, above the ground. But what's going on in a believer is below ground. That's the faith. They're rooted and grounded in the love of God. Man, that's our source. It isn't by copying other Christians or, oh, because Gretchen does this or somebody does that or, you know, Kelsey does this and I'm going to do that too. And what happens, man, is that just the whole thing dies on you. You know, we try to plant it and put some soil. Okay, we're going to make this work. Put some soil here. Try not to spill it on. This is not going to work. This is what a lot of times we end up with in our struggle. This is not walking in the Spirit. And chapter 6 talks about this. This comes from comparing one to another. We start looking at each other's lives and comparing and making judgments about each other. And we expect Christianity to flow out of that. That was beautiful what you wrote today, Chris, about going together in unity. And it doesn't come from copying each other, comparing one to another. You did this for me, I did this for you, what's going on? And you need to be like me and I need to be like you. We need to all be like Christ. The root we all have in common. That's faith and the love of God. I like Corrie ten Boom's father, how he put it. He said, my faith has nothing to do of anything that's inside of me. It's something that's been already established outside of me. Jesus did it. It's done. Pretty cool. All right, let's get into there. Let's flow right into chapter 6 here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. The issue here now coming to bear about the people that are surrounding the people that are in having a struggle. Somebody's overtaken by a fault. Ye which are spiritual, restore a one in the spirit of meekness. That somebody's being restored here. That's the work of ministry. It happens. People are overtaken. A little temptation, whatever it is, a little leaven, leavens the lump, as the previous chapter says, and all of a sudden the whole thing is somebody's life is inflamed with sin. God has concern about the people that are around that person. Ye which are spiritual, restore a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. What can happen when there's sin in a body of believers, which there always is, we all struggle with it. Pride can develop as we look at each other and compare one to another. Pride can develop, and that's the beginning of complete corruption in the whole body. Spirit of meekness, looking to restore. That might look different in different situations, but the idea is always a desire to restore that one. Different cases in the scripture here, there were people that even had to be turned out of the fellowship. That Satan would destroy the flesh, allow their flesh to be consumed. That their spirit would be saved. Pretty heavy. Don't make this stuff up, it's right in the scripture, guys. This is reality, this is the church, this is the body of Christ. The greater reality is eternity, so this fleshly life doesn't matter. If need be, someone needs to be delivered from it. To enter into heaven and be delivered unto God. In some cases, we see that happen. But we're called to a spirit of meekness, not one of pride, considering us, our own selves, that we're also vulnerable. All of us, each one of us. To the list of sins given in chapter 5. We don't need to read them today, but they're quite lengthy. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians, the girls just went through it, talked about forbearing and forgiving, talking about the body of believers. Here we got another one about the body of Christ. You want to know what church is about? It isn't about singing in a polished choir. Come on. It's about loving one another, bearing one another's burdens, and fulfilling the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Die for your friends. Lay your life down. But I did. Seven times I forgave them. Try 490. And if you've counted that many times, God help you. God help you. Bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the yoke that we're all in now. That's a burden that's light and easy. Man, I'm glad I'm not under the Ten Commandments, man. Do not lie. Do not steal. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Honor your father and mother. Man, that's heavy. Mm-hmm. Don't covet. Paul the great apostle said, man, I made it through all nine, and I was done. How can I control what's going on in my heart when I see my friend drive by with a new truck, mm-hmm. new tractor? How can I control that in there? The covetousness that's happening. Paul said, I'm done. There's something wrong with me, God. Deliver me from this body of death. And he does. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Those that love him and walk in the Spirit. So we're encouraged to realize that we're waiting. We've been in the grip. We are in the grip of Jesus. And now we're to walk and bear fruit for him. Bear ye another one's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What an easy yoke for us weary people that have been trying to do it and failing. Man, we're yoked up with Christ, the greatest love in this world demonstrated. We're yoked up to that. We're connected with that. We're harnessed to that. This is a closing of a letter here in chapter 6, so it's kind of like Proverbs. There's a lot of stuff coming at you in different angles. He's finishing up a letter, so he's like, there's a lot of stuff coming out, a lot of truth that the Holy Spirit is coming to bear as he runs out of paper here, whatever happened, I don't know. But you get that feel that there's a lot coming out real quick here. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. There's a lot of philosophy out in the world that tries to build self-esteem and get you to love yourself, love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. The message of Christ is to deny yourself. So as soon as you find yourself and you're loving yourself, great, now deny it. Give up that on the cross. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about that? Mm-hmm. So that's a big, big philosophy out there. Even people that cut themselves and hurt themselves and do things to themselves, they do it out of a love for themselves. They're mistreating themselves. It's a kind of a weird kind of love. But sometimes the world just kind of retrains that love and gets you to love yourself better. The way of Christ is to deny yourself, to die to self. Why? So you can have new life. You lose your life, not just to lose it and disappear into oblivion, but to find new life, one that is of power in love and a sound mind, no longer in bondage to fear. I'm afraid of everything. I'm afraid of what people think of me. What are they going to think of this haircut? What are they going to think of this? What are they thinking of my clothes? Am I matching today? What am I? All done. That's all dead. Paul, you're a jerk. Sorry, but I'm dead. That doesn't hurt anymore. Okay? But I want to know why you want to think I'm a jerk so I can improve. I do want to learn. Any man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Our value is that new life in Christ that we have. Our value is the possession of Christ himself. That's our greatest treasure. You're chasing after anything else, go read Ecclesiastes. You feel like, man, I gotta get it. I've got to get this. And when I get this, and then I've got it. I'm making it with the Joneses. I'm keeping up with the rest of the world and what the world defines as, forget it. Go read Ecclesiastes. It's all chasing the wind. Well, you're just people running out in the world right now. It's really what's happening. Trying to grab after nothing. Absolutely nothing. Let every man, in verse 4, prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. There's the comparing one to another. That's the planting of upside down planting that happens. I want to be like so-and-so. I want to be like so-and-so. I'm going to do what they did. And they have no root to support that. So the whole thing is corrupt. For every man shall bear his own burden. That is, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ alone. With Christ. Not alone by ourselves, but with Jesus. He is our covering. That's it. He's the one that is going to be our advocate. Not so-and-so, not because we copied this person or that person. We need to keep that in mind as we're comparing to each other. That we're not going to stand before them someday. It's going to be before the Lord. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. So somebody is sharing with you spiritually. Share back with them the fruit of that. You know what? You know the most awesome thing to have shared back when Patty gives something a spiritual word to somebody. Most awesome thing is that they listen, and there was fruit in it. You know what? I finally listened to what you've been telling me over and over. You know, and this happened, and this good fruit. So that's the ultimate. You know, to share back those things. That's part of the communication. That's part of koinonia, right there. And that actual word is used right there, the root word there, and communicating unto them, back to them. That's koinonia. It's bringing and sharing back those that are investing in your life. So that's cool. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So that's a spiritual law that we can't escape. We try to escape things like gravity. You can run it's called the vomit comet or something like that. You can go up on a 747 up to a certain, way up there, high altitude. And for 10 minutes, you can experience weightlessness if you have $5,000. That's quite a ride. Or you can just go to Six Flags and go on those roller coasters. That's pretty much the same thing. Oh, my goodness. The way they whip you around. Yeah. You pretty much feel like you're just in outer space, I imagine, right? The jackrabbit up at Seabreeze is my speed right there. That's crazy to me. But the vomit comet, that is real weightlessness for 10 minutes. Trying to get around the laws of gravity, okay, for a very huge expense. But spiritual laws, even more, there's no escape here. That sowing things are going to produce things. If you watch a TV show that's got pornography in it, if you got to watch the news too much, you're overloaded with all the stuff that's going on in the world that's scary. Watch out how that those are things that you're planting within. Those things will bear fruit. I know Mark teaches the kids. He's always talking about that. Sowing in the Word of God. Sow in the Word of God. Sow in the Word of God. Sow it in. It's like planting seeds. Plant it. Plant it over and over and over and over. So he's been saying that. I want him to continue saying that for the next 20 years. Keep going. Keep going. Sow those good things. The Word of God. Sow truth. It's going to bear fruit. Believe and trust in God. You can trust in His promises. Thank you, Lord. So this reaping of life everlasting is today. It's for today. There's something awesome that can happen today because you trusted in God. It's not just some distant promise. I'm going to sit in a cloud someday. I can experience this everlasting life today, this new creature today. And let us not be weary in well-doing. This is a famous verse of the Bible. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Why is that verse given? Because we grow weary in well-doing. It is tiring. Expect that to happen. When it does, when the feeling comes of weariness, that's a temptation of the flesh. That's a fiery dart from the enemy. He's going to try to bring you down in this verse. And the opposite side of the coin here is to give up, to throw in the towel. Oh, this doesn't work. I tried it for three days. I tried it for 3 years. You heard it before. I tried Jesus. I've tried. I've given a try. The encouragement here is not to, is to keep planting, keep sowing. Gentle. All right? We don't put the seeds in the end of a shotgun and go plant our garden. There's a gentle work of working with the soil here. It's the labor of love that we've all been called to. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Praise God. That's what God wants us to do. Especially, well, there's an especially, unto them who are the household of faith. You've heard the expression, we treat the people we love the most the worst. Why do you think that is? Anybody have any ideas? This is the $100 question. Why do we treat the people that we love the most the worst? God is telling us, He knows that. He knows our nature. He's telling us just the opposite. He says, especially, don't get all religious on me. Treat your brothers and sisters in church and your family like garbage. And it could be because I'm serving out here like high and mighty. Oh, I got to go serve God out here and neglect everybody else. Especially in the household. Why? Well, God knows that's we have an issue. We're human beings. What do you think about that? Why do we treat the people the worst that we love the most?
They know we're gonna forgive them. We're gonna love them.
So we're kind of drawing from the bank of grace a little bit too much, abusing grace. Okay. A lot of times that you hear that with the kids when they move out, and then all of a sudden they're the best friends with the parents. And how many times we've heard that before? While they're, you know, the close, tight end, then it's real rough. Does everybody at least agree that that's true? it's quite common anyway. You know, we do, and I think largely what you're saying, Patty, there's we take advantage of grace, and we know that. Okay, we can. There'll be forgiveness there. Maybe we don't, you know, think it outright as a, but we just, it's there. We just, it's kind of in the back of our mind, so we, and our actions kind of come out of that. Somebody might not have that thought. Well, I'm going to abuse grace today with so and so, you know. But any other thoughts about that, or even about this verse, how to apply it? Doing good, especially to those of the household of faith, the fellow believers, your brothers and sisters. That's beyond these walls.
Well, we're all supposed to be the one body, right? So we hurt ourselves.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's because we expect others to be just like us, and to think like us and act like us. And when we see that they're acting or doing something differently than what we would do, I think I have a tendency to want to correct that action so it matches, and it's not necessarily wrong. It's just not me. So.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Awesome. It's very good there. Awesome. Good truth. Okay. So it's good to sit, you know, at the feet of the Lord and hear, you know, hear these things coming from His Word, and to be children and say, yeah, Lord, that's awesome. Paul, Chris, Alex, I want you to do good unto all men, especially to your fellow believers, your brothers and sisters in the faith, to hear that from the Lord. Awesome. Paul closes up here. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. More evidence that Paul had issues with his eyes, and that if you can't see the paper real well, you tend to write very large. He was very well schooled, so we don't think he just
didn't know how to write. It was more because of an eye problem. And this church received him. The people of Galatia received him, even though he had that, you know, he likely had some kind of physical thing that was kind of gross, probably with his eyes. It was hard to look at. And it talks about that in previous chapters here. He said, you guys received me, and it was awesome. Even though I didn't look like a super saint, it was hard to look at. So I said, man, the truth is coming good, but kind of hard to look at. And he said, you received me like I was dropped right out of heaven as if I was Christ himself. And he was. He was given the word of God right straight from heaven. He was an apostle. The word of God coming right through him. So this ties back to that a little bit. Again, yielding back to that, you know, he had this thing in the flesh, but yet they still loved him through that. It is a very difficult thing when people judge each other that they don't have enough faith because they have some type of physical condition. And you're something less of a saint because you're not walking in, you don't look like, who's the fitness people today? I don't even know. I'm not connected with anything. It's not Jack LaLanne. We've gone a few years. who's the Taekwondo? Who is that? I don't know. Bo, somebody. Oh, there's got to be some superstar heroes. Arnold Schwarzenegger, not anymore, but he's in politics. But hey, if you don't look like whoever that is, that superstar saint, you know, everything, everything's perfect in your life, and you're all these, then you're something less. I share the same tears that Mrs. O'Gara did yesterday about the people being held back from the grace of God and growing in Him, being thrown in a prison of you're something less. Oh, let's finish up, folks. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So a lot of people do things to avoid persecution. I'm not going to say the name of Jesus. I'm going to keep things generic. Be careful with that. Don't be afraid. If somebody gets mad at you, be for saying the name of Jesus, for standing up for your faith. Don't be afraid of that. You can even expect it. You can even rejoice and be glad when someone says something bad about you because of your faith in Jesus. Rejoice and be glad. Great is your reward. There's a promise that goes with it. For neither they themselves, verse 13, who are circumcised keep the law, so it's all phony, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Look what we did. We made another person just like us. We stuck the plant upside down. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Powerful. Powerful. How do I see all that stuff out there, all that shiny, glittery stuff? Man, that stuff is all crucified. And I'm crucified as I look at it. Both ways. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Great healing there. Great freedom. We're to stand in that liberty that we've been set free. You don't have to go chasing after these things anymore. Man, that's a hard life. Very dry fruit in that life. Hey, we got it. We finally got this thing. Yay. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Yay! A new life. That's what you can rejoice about. None of that other stuff matters. A new creature that's not going to perish, that's not going to corrupt, that's going to live forever with God, that can love in the hardest and harshest of circumstances, that can love the hardest and harshest of people, that can bear fruit unto God, that we're going to be singing and rejoicing about and giving thanks to God forever and ever. And as many walk according to this rule, peace be unto them. He's going to exit as he does his other letters. He enters in grace and peace. He exits out peace and grace. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. those following the blueprints of Abraham, just simply believing in God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names don't hurt me anymore. I am covered in Christ. The names of things that are hurled at me, including physical stones, that just doesn't matter anymore. That stuff doesn't hurt anymore. It's like it goes through. It has to go through the suffering of Christ that's already covering you. Brethren, the grace, I'm not going to hold on to it anyway. Yeah, those things can sting, but I'm not going to hold on to those stings and rehearse them. Mm-hmm. That's the key, okay? I'm not going to say we're not humans anymore and it doesn't hurt. We're not going to hold on to the hurt. Not going to rehearse it and play that tape recorder. Okay, we click, rewind, click, rewind, click, rewind. What fruit is in that? Does anybody ever get healed from that? Anybody ever find resolve in that? No, you just get bitterness there. Cast all that on the Lord. He's waiting for you to do so. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. Read that last verse. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with your spirit. Amen. The book is done. Praise God. Go in peace today. Thank you, Jesus.